In 2014, I really believe it can be the greatest year of your life. But in order to walk in it and walk in the things of God, it's going to take effort on our part. You know, nothing comes about easy. Wish it would. You know? I wish holy water worked. It'd be great, but it doesn't. And one of the things I want to encourage y'all about is in 2014, it's a time that you really, 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 really need to learn the presence of God. You know, it's easy to come into a corporate situation. Well, it's maybe not, but it can be easy to come into a corporate situation like this where, you know, the praise and worship team's just bringing the presence of God and just worshiping, and you can just kind of sit there. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I could just lay down right over there on the chairs and go to sleep. You know, I mean, it's just when the presence of God comes on you and you know, you're tired anyway, and you know, you just, I mean, ooh, it's nice, it's sweet. Well, what we don't recognize a lot of times is we don't recognize the presence of God every day in our life. Okay, now, like, just for instance, if you get around, I know all of y'all are sensitive to this, because in the reverse, if you get around some really ugly people, some really bad talking, some really nasty going on, some really stuff like that, you begin to feel that evil, that yuck, that, you know, whatever. You can walk into a restaurant or walk into a department store, walk into a different place, and you walk in there and it just doesn't feel right. Okay, well, that's you being sensitive. You're used to, what's happening to you is you're getting used to the sweet presence of Jesus, so that now you're recognizing what's not the sweet presence of Jesus. You know, almost every Sunday night after church, you know, we'll go home, you know, whatever, and we do whatever, and then comes time to go to bed. And I would say probably 90% of the time, by the time I go to bed on a Sunday night, I recognize a demonic presence. You know, like, sometimes it's worse. And I just think it's the attack of the devil, because we just had such a good service on Sunday morning. He just loved to knock me off. But my wife and I were laying in bed the other night, and I said, you know, we can't go to sleep right now, because I said, something's not right. And I said to her, it feels like in our home, it's like we're in a strange place. Like it's not my home. Like it feels like we're just in like a hotel room, you know, or something different. And she started laughing. She says, exactly, that's exactly what I was thinking a while ago, that it's like strange in the house. Well, okay, you recognize that. You see that if you know the presence of Jesus, and you know what's not the presence of Jesus. You know, you don't have to be a huge rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. But what we miss most of the time is we're not sensitive enough to do anything about it. We just tolerate it. Well, in 2014, we've got to come to a place in our lives that we recognize this. We sense that there's not harmony in our home. We sense that there's not peace in the situation. We sense that there's not, you know, whatever going on. And we put our foot down and we stop and we pray and we invite the presence of God into our home until the Holy Ghost shows up and everything's straight. And that's what we did. We laid in the bed and just prayed and just talked, and we laughed and we giggled about a few things, and then we prayed. And we, you know, I mean, it wasn't like we had to have this serious, like, fall down on your knees and prayer time, because bottom line is I'm not scared of the devil anyway, so whatever, he's got to go. I mean, it's just recognizing it. We just let things follow us around all the time. You know, we let the mangy old cat follow us around, or the, you know, the whatever it is that is just there. We just don't do anything about it. Well, I'm just praying for all of y'all that in 2014 you're going to have a real awareness of the presence of God, and awareness of what I'm talking about here, so that you can see change in your home, see change in your family, see change in your lives. Say, wait a minute, why are you acting like that? That's not normal. What went on today in school? What took place? And that's not, well, stop here. We need to pray, because you need to have peace right now. You don't need to be in turmoil. You know, you can get around some people and they just, you know, tie your tail in a knot. You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, go home and you're acting, you know, strange, and then you're like, wow, man, I've been around those people, you know, that's what's wrong. That's great. You see, what's happening is don't be mad at yourself that you've become like that, be glad that you've recognized it. And then get the presence of God in there so you can go on. Amen? And so, what I am feeling in my heart and the stirrings of this year is that God wants to use y'all. He's always wanted to use y'all. And maybe this is just the year we're going to emphasize on it, but he wants to use y'all every day. Okay? Every day. Every day you don't realize what opportunities you have to encourage somebody, sow some seed in somebody, whatever. And you're going to the teaching that Maggie did in Sunday school on the gifts of the Spirit are going to be real important and real foundational for this year, because what you've got to do is you've got to learn and understand, how does Jesus want to operate through you? All right? What is your giftings that God wants to loose to everybody around you? Okay? Because that's how he's going to grow you and grow the church. Is people are going to start to recognize God moving through you. Hello? Okay. So, in taking off on this message tonight, I want to look at some scriptures. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 5. I'll start out with the bad news and then we'll work to the good news. You see, the thing that you have to watch out for is you have to watch out for operating in the spirit of you versus operating in the spirit of Christ. You following me? Because all of us have a personality and all of us have a like and a dislike. And so Acts chapter 5 verse 1, we come into a situation here where Ananias and Sapphira, you know this story, but let's read it. We're going to read down through these verses. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds for his wife, also being aware of it. And he brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Can I stop right there? The reason why they were doing this is if you go back to Acts chapter 2, you look at the early church, and it says that a lot of the early church, they were selling what they had, and they were coming, and they were distributing to everybody so that everybody had the wherewithal, the means to do it. So, you know, I'm having to look through these scriptures a little bit, but apparently Ananias and Sapphira was like, wow, look at those so-and-so. They sold that, and wow, look at that. They gave that. And so it must have been public giving. Otherwise, how would he have known? Right? But that was pretty common in the Jewish tradition, because you remember the woman that gave the small amount and Jesus was watching her give. So, you know, it was a tradition they were carrying on, but he got impressed with watching what people were giving. And in his eyes, you know, I don't know what was wrong with him, but in his eyes, he was looking like, wow, they really look important. I really bet, you know, they really look like they're really doing something. And so he says, so he sold some proceeds, but he kept back part of it for his wife. Proceeds, his wife also was aware of it, and she brought a certain part of it, and they lay at the apostles' feet. Going to 3. But Peter said, Ananias, wife, Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. So when you really look into this, it gets a little spooky in the sense that Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart? You know what I mean? We don't. Beelzebub himself, right? But we got to understand something. The devil, either directly or indirectly, is always wanting to trip you up. Right? He wants you to fall. He wants you to go back into whatever, get hung up in whatever. He wants you to get it offended. He wants you to get, you know, mad at that person so you get in unforgiveness. He wants you to, get to feeling inferior, or get to feeling jealous, or get to feeling, whatever, so that you can get sidetracked. Because when you're sidetracked, focused over here on the problem, you are not seeing the answer, not going forward, and not winning souls for Jesus. You got to understand something, church. This is a hard thing for us to get, but life is really not about you. It's not about me. Okay? Life is about God using you to administrate His kingdom on earth through you. Now, you're going to administrate His kingdom on earth through you in whatever avenue He's opened up for you. Right? You can't be in some other avenue over there if God hadn't opened up a door for you. But in whatever area. So, you know, your family, your children, your business, your associates, the people you go across, the places that you go eat your sandwich, the places you usually shop at. You know, we're creatures of habit. We tend to do the same thing over and over again. One of the things that you got to either you love it or you'll leave Utopia over this is that the other day when Laura was sick, she wanted some Gatorade and some saltine crackers. And so we were out, and so I said, I'll just go to town and get some. So I went to the store. I went in the store. I don't ever go in the store, okay? And I went in the store, and I bought Gatorade and saltine crackers. And the girl that was checking me out said, oh, is Laura sick? And I said, oh, man, you know what I mean? Your life is an open book. You live in a fishbowl, I mean, you know. And I just laughed. I said, yeah. She said, oh, well, just sort of hope that she gets better, you know. I'm just saying that's, you know, people are aware of everything, right? Well, if we would realize that it's the avenues that we go in, those places we traffic, is the places where God wants to advance the kingdom of God in those places through you. That's what life's about. All right? And you see, you can't get all in bondage about this, because let's say you're going to go on a trip. Well, then wherever you're going on your trip, God wants to open up the advances those doors through there, whatever, wherever. You see what I'm saying? That's what God wants to do. If you get this through our head, that the world's not revolving on the axis of us, we're in the world flowing through it, but wherever you've got an open door, wherever your venue is, wherever you're trafficking, whatever you're going and doing, that's how God wants to advance the kingdom of God. Through you in those areas. So, the scary thing is here is he says Satan filled his heart. Well, he didn't go to a seance. He didn't go worship at the altar of the devil. Right? He didn't watch Poltergeist 1, 2, and 3. Right? He just heard a whisper in his ear, sitting there watching the other people give, and the enemy found his weakness. And the weakness that he found in him was that, I don't know, maybe it was pride? You know, maybe it was jealousy? Or maybe it was just that Ananias felt inferior, and he wanted to look like somebody. But he was kind of a tightwad. Now, the scripture goes on here, and Peter basically says, you know, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to give. You could have just given whatever. You know, if you had $100, you could have just given 50. You didn't have to give the whole 100. It was totally up to you. But why did you try to be deceptive? Well, there was something in Ananias' heart that was twisted. Something that, you know, insecure, an insecurity in his own life that the devil then used that as a whisper into him. And that's what we got to watch out for. Because you may want to start operating in the gifts of God, but if you don't watch what you're doing, the enemy could use that to sidetrack you. Right? I'm not trying to put any fear in you. I'm just trying to tell you what happens. Okay, go on. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Why have you lied to men, but you've lied not to men, but to God? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath, and great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I bet so. All right? God, dude dropped dead in church. I mean, can you imagine if we had church services and we always had to have the EMS out front? Okay, go on. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later that when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, Peter answered, "Tell me whether you sold this land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead, carried her out. I mean, these guys, these are some good ushers, right? I mean, they're ready. Wrap them up, haul them out. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church, sure did, upon all who had heard those sayings, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done. Now, well, look at this. Through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders. So in other words, what happened and what took place, you know, the Bible says God takes every bad thing, turns around for good. What happened with Ananias and Sapphira actually brought about a revival in the church in a sense. People were healed, miracles were taking place. Why? Because the ones who were left were in faith. You think about this. I'm going to say this, and you may not believe it's true, but it is. On a Sunday morning church, on a Wednesday night church, what takes place in the service, what goes on in the service, is not what I bring to church, it's what you bring to church. Because of the faith of the people, will pull out the gifts of God and will make it happen. Churches don't realize that. They think that the preacher is going to be the one that's going to make everything happen. And so they have pulpit committees, and they go hire a guy to preach, and they put everything and focus everything on the preacher. But the truth of the matter is the spirit that's in the church and the faith that's in the church or the hunger that's in the church or the demonic activity that's in the church is what's going to control the atmosphere of the church and the environment of the church and if miracles are going to work or not. And when these people saw people dropping dead, said, "We better get right." And everybody fell on their face and said, "Oh, Jesus, don't let me walk like this. I don't want to do anything wrong. We love you. Lord, come." Boom, miracles and signs and wonders start taking place. Hello? Okay, I think go to the next verse. "Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." So, in other words, there was a certain group of them, a certain, you know, I don't know if they were part of the church or whatever, but, you know, there's a person that said, "Ah, you know, I think we'll stay out. You know, we'll just stay out for a while. We'll observe from afar." But that was probably a good thing, because what got out of the church was the doubt and unbelief and those that weren't really in agreement, those that weren't really with them. So then signs and wonders operate in the church, and miracles operate in the church, and great things operate in the church. Power of God was moving, because everybody that was sitting there was like, "We're with you." Yeah. I went to a meeting one time with a very powerful speaker, and Dwayne and Tracy were at the meeting, and Dwayne was sitting beside me, and this meeting started going, and it was really powerful. Something happened that was kind of odd, and Dwayne said, "What do you think we ought to do?" And I said, "I don't know, just don't move. Just sit here and look forward." And he said, "Well, I was thinking about getting up and going." I said, "Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Zach, just be like the deer in the headlights. Just kind of hide. Just, you know, do you see me or not? Hopefully nobody's looking." Because I felt that sense, that presence of God so strong, yet I was a little unaware of what to do, and it was a kind of a completely different surrounding for me, and I wasn't real comfortable. But yet I was like, okay, it's God. I know it's God, but let's just sit here and wait this thing out, because I don't want to do anything that would be too rash. Don't want to jump from my chair and drop dead before I get to the back door or something. So let's just sit here and smile and act like everything's okay. Y'all with me? And it'd be great to have services like that, you know. But it comes with a price. And the price is us getting to the place in life that we really understand the presence of God and we're sensitive to the presence of God. And we have this kind of an attitude and a reverent heart within us to come to church and to say, we're coming here because we really want to worship God and we really want to be pure and we really want to be honest and we really want to be, you know, open before you, Lord. And we're coming to worship you, and Lord, use us if it's your will tonight. You see what I'm saying? Prepare us. And so it takes, on our part, it takes us to becoming, to not letting the distractions of life come in and steal what God's trying to do through us. Then let me show you another scripture. Go over to the book of Colossians. I believe it's either chapter 3 or chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 1. It's a great foundational scripture for you. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Let's look at 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. It's a really, sounds so simple. But let's just put it to you like this. Sunday morning, church, Wednesday night church, because I'm using these as platforms. But if you came to church, but you're distracted, okay? You're thinking about what happened and what you're mad about, or you're thinking about the roast, or you're thinking about, well, I can't believe what so-and-so did, or I can't, you know, if you've got these distractions going on, right? Then what happens is you're not setting your mind on the things above or the things of God. You're setting your mind on the earthly things. And so what's going to happen is you're going to miss the Spirit of God. You're going to miss the flow. And so the battle that we fight is the battle to set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. To be able to put out of your thinking whatever would be the distraction and focus on heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that you are thinking of, okay, oh, I see the streets of gold. Yeah, the streets of gold are pretty. Well, listen, I can tell you, I can think all day long on streets of gold, but I've never seen a street of gold. I've seen asphalt. I've seen cobblestone. I've seen caliche. I've never seen a street of gold. It's kind of hard for me to close my eyes and to think about what a street of gold would look like. I mean, I can't imagine it, but, you know. Always wonder if it's paved. I'd think it'd be solid. No caliche base, just paved gold. Bricks of gold, see, might be. The round ones, the octagonal ones, or just the regular long brick? The rectangular ones, huh? I think they're fitted, if they would be. I want to go with Frankie on this one. The little octagonal fitted ones is what I was going to say. Here we go. See? The point is that it's not that. It's setting your mind on the things, the godly things. It's setting your mind on good things. It's setting your mind on positive things. It's setting your mind on, oh gosh, I just feel impressed that, you know, I ought to pray for so-and-so. Well, you may not know what's going on with so-and-so, but just pray for so-and-so. You see what I mean? It may be that because you're practicing this and you're walking this, you get a whiff, you get a something runs through your brain of a thought that's a good thought, a godly thought. Okay, I think let's go on just a few more verses here. Okay, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Go on. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we'll also appear with Him. Go on. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication. Okay, let me skip. Let me get my Bible and see where we're at. It's a few verses down here. Go to 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Bear with one another and forgive one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must do to them. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So what he's saying here is that when you say set your mind on the things above, it's like getting out of the thought of worldly things. Okay? You can do this all day long. You can actually begin to think like this all day long, and it puts you in the presence of God. Let me ask y'all a situation. If you know that somebody is mad at you, and you're going to go have a meeting with them, would your thoughts be positive or negative? Negative? Who said negative? What do y'all think? I got another negative? Right? You'd be apprehensive. How about that? You'd be apprehensive, right? So you might think, well, gosh, if they say this, well, then, you know, I'm going to have to say this, and if they do this, and blah, blah. Okay, well, you've already put yourself in the wrong place. You've taken yourself out of the presence of God. See, because you're already going into the situation. I used to, in order to train myself to try to think right, I used to think of it totally the opposite. In other words, I would say, man, I'm going to walk in there. When they see me, they're going to begin to weep, and they're going to fall on their knees and say, oh, my God, I truly see that God is in you. Because that's what Isaiah 45 says. And then they're going to begin to get baptized in the Holy Spirit instantly and start speaking in tongues. And then they're going to prophesy. And then I want to, you know, they're going to give a tongue and I want to interpret it. That's what's going to happen. You know, in other words, I just had to take myself out of the realm because I was that far wacko on the other end. Y'all with me? I've always dreamed of a situation where I walk in there and I introduce myself and the guy's mad at me, and then all of a sudden he says, wait a minute, are you Robert Richards that's on the radio? Well, I listen to you every morning, you know. And it had never happened, but that's how I try to imagine. What I'm saying is, if you set your mind on that, it takes you into the presence of God, where then you can hear from heaven and you can flow in the things of God. See, sometimes we try to spiritualize things too much. What's the word? Hyper-spiritualize. I like that word. Can't even remember it, but I like it. We hyper-spiritualize everything. We try to, you know, go through the biggest whatever, you know. But what really all has to take place is we just have to step over here and set our mind on the things of God. And when we do, the power of God and the presence of God is going to begin to come through us, and it's going to begin to flow through us. And then you're in normal activity, but your mind is set right where then God's using you. You follow me? Because the gift of God wants to flow through you, or the gifts of God want to flow through you, but if your mind's set on the things of the world, they can't do it because you're not going to be thinking about that. You follow me? Because you're thinking of the worldly thing. It's 15. Go to 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, we were holding a pastor's conference in Zacapa in Mexico. And they'd rented a pretty good-sized hall, and I was sitting up front. Annie had asked me to sit up front and to be prepared to minister if she needed me. And then she was ministering, and then she was just going along and flowing in the things of God, and then she just leaned over to me and just right there, and she says, there may be a problem in the back. Just watch out. And she just went on preaching. I was like, okay, you know, so I turn around, look, I don't see anything. And so I was right by the edge of the aisle. I thought, you know, something happens. Some guy comes running down or whatever. I'll just tackle him right here, you know. And so in a minute, man, I hear this ruckus. And here comes this guy walking down the aisle. And so, you know, I didn't think anything about it. And I just kind of looked, and then I looked, and I could see his face. And I said, ooh, this ain't right. You know, something's not right. And so I just stepped in the middle of the aisle, and you know, we're in Mexico, and I wasn't thinking about what I was doing, and I said, hey, how you doing? And the guy just, it stunned him. And he just kind of blinked and he looked. And I kept looking at this guy, and I thought, this guy really looks funny. You know, his face looks funny. He looks, his facial features look funny. And I thought, something's funny about this guy. But I said, I wasn't thinking anything aggressive. Wasn't thinking anything like, you know, I'm going to do a karate move on him or anything, you know. Cat-like reflexes are going to come into any minute and wrap this guy up, put him on the floor. I wasn't thinking about that at all. I was just thinking about, oh, you know, this guy, he doesn't look right. Something's not right with him, you know. And so I said, I'll just take him to the back, you know. So I put my arm around him, and I just said, hey, you know, he was a big guy, and I put my arm around him, hey, you know. And then I started speaking to him in Spanish. I said, let's go to the back, you know. And I'll talk to you back here. So we get to talking to the guy and everything. And so ends up, we get him to the back, and the guy, come to find out, you know, he's drunk. And then as we begin to try to minister to him, you know, he gets a little violent, and then everything kind of calmed down in just a minute, and then we ended up leading him to the Lord and praying for him. He was weeping and crying in the back, and so we came to the front, and I sat back down, you know, let the guys take care of it. It's no big deal. And so they're going to the service. After the service is over with, Sister Annie comes up to me and said, oh, my God, you know, that was a miracle. I said, what do you mean it's a miracle? She said, well, I got scared because I saw the guy in the back. He's the town boxer. I said, well, that's why his face looked funny. His nose is flat, you know, where, you know, his ears were cauliflowered and whatever, and that's what was wrong. This guy was the notorious, he was the boxer in town. And she said, and I saw him coming to the front, but I said that to you, but then I thought, oh, God, Robert's the wrong one to stand up in front of him because he might get aggressive, and then the guy's going to clean his plow right there. He said, this guy's a professional boxer. And so I started laughing. I said, isn't that funny? And so I said, I didn't even have an ounce of aggression in me. Yeah, thank God, right? Because we were in the middle of a Holy Ghost service, just flowing in the things of God and whatever. And if I would have been the other way, if my mind would have been set on worldly things at that moment, that guy, we would have been ugly. And I don't think I'd have won on this deal. But you see, just that moment of being in the presence of God and keeping my mind set on the things of God, it changed the whole situation from a bad outcome. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be in your life. When you're thinking that and you're keeping your mindset like that, well, then all of a sudden things are going, choo, 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 just starting to line themselves up and arrange themselves to bring victory into your life. And that's what we've really got to operate in 2014. We've really got to get honed into that and be sensitive to the presence of God and sensitive to what God wants us to do and quickly see when something is nothing but a distraction that's trying to distract you. I remember just, it doesn't happen now. It's kind of funny, come to think about it. But used to be every time I sat down and said, I want to pray, the phone would ring. So I just turned the phone off. Right? But it would be an instantaneous distraction that would come up. And so as you become aware of that, and you stop it, and you keep your mind set on the things of God, you're going to see God do amazing things. You're going to start to see things happening and opening up and just blessing, you know, and just seeing God use you and seeing people being blessed by you and through you, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And so that's the lesson for tonight, is don't get over there and get distracted. Don't let those things take you off. Don't spend your time on them, because it's only going to bring you misery. And hopefully not get you killed in church. What's that? Happens a lot in Africa. It does happen a lot in Africa. They haul them out of there. I think over there, because of the cultural difference, there's such a wide gap between, you know, the demonic and you know, I mean, they don't call it the dark continent for nothing. And it does happen a lot over there. And they act like it's no big deal. It's never happened when I've been in service. That would be weird. I guess I would feel instantly want to pray for the guy that he be resurrected. I mean, you know, because I just feel sorry for him. But God knows. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Well, ushers, help me. Let's take up our offering tonight. If you need an offering envelope, just holler it. I'm going to get you one. The day I'm looking for is the day that I never enter into the worldly thinking first. I ain't got there yet. When I never enter into the worldly thinking first, it doesn't even come across my mind. You know, because I do have to go through still a process. Something makes me mad. I get mad. I think about it. Then I finally get, no, that's a distraction. I get back over here. I just would like to have the right thought to start out with. I don't always do that. Sometimes, but not most of the time. But recognizing it's what makes it gives us a victory. Well, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the ability to give and the ability to bless and the ability to help people. Ability to reach people all around this world and to sow the gospel. To tell people about your love. Lord, to have a place here like Living Waters Church and the Waterhole Ministry is going out all over the place, Lord, just reaching and touching the hearts and lives of people. And so, Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you for blessing these people, blessing their businesses. I thank you that as we give, Lord, that just, oh, man, you just super abundantly bless us. Give back unto us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything going on? Kids Blaze Sunday, the 2nd. Find a kid, nab him off the street, bring him to church. Yes. Okay. But this is the 2nd Sunday. So it's the 3rd Sunday. Dinner on the grounds. And then Ivan will be here on the 4th. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm with you now, Miss Dixie. You threw me off there a little bit, but I'm with you. Well, praise God. Stand to your feet. Grab that person's hand around you. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name, we're going to be the people of God who set our mind on the things of God. And I just ask you, Lord, that as we go out in this world, that we're not falling into those distractions. We'll not get tangled up in the webs of the enemy. But we're just going to hear from you. We're going to walk with you. And Lord, we just give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.